I'm Marco Werman. You're with The World. Many Cambodians here in the U.S. last saw their home country back in 1975. The movie The Killing Fields dramatized the chaos there as Americans and some Cambodians managed to flee. The Oscar for Best Supporting Actor in 1984 went to Hang Ngor. He played a Cambodian journalist who was not evacuated. In his Oscar acceptance speech, he said it was important for Americans to know the story.
And I thank Warner Brothers for helping me tell my story to the world, let the world know what happened in my country. And I thank God, Buddha, that tonight I'm even here. Thank you, man. Thank you.
That fabulous moment for the Cambodian-American community sits in sharp contrast to some news today. The U.S. is sending Cambodians home. Kevin Lowe is an attorney for Cambodian deportees, including some who landed in Phnom Penh today.
I think one of the more compelling stories is one of my clients who actually barely missed getting on the plane, and his name is Sir Un. So Sir was, like many of the other refugees on the plane, they came here in the mid-1970s, the Vietnam War had just spilled into Cambodia, the U.S. was dropping bombs on the country, they all fled. Once they got to the U.S., many of the Cambodian refugees, and Sir included, were resettled in neighborhoods that were just over-policed and filled with gangs and violence. Sir ended up committing a residential burglary in his youth. I think he was probably like 18 or 19.
And that's one of the connecting threads with all these stories, is that these are people who at one point got into trouble with the law.
Yes. So across the board, they have convictions, most of them from about two decades ago. And these are crimes for which they have fully served their sentences. It's just that after they exited prison or county jail, ICE was there to pick them up and put them in removal proceedings.
So for those who were convicted of felonies decades ago, deportable felonies, why weren't they deported when they first got out of prison?
So prior to 2002, Cambodians who were ordered removed were not accepted by Cambodia. So actually, Cambodian clients we've talked to have all had the experience of being in an ICE jail, just getting advice from like the random detainees that they knew. And at that point, it was good advice to just take a removal order to not fight your deportation, because Cambodia wasn't accepting people. If you were willing to accept a removal order, they knew that they would just get out and would be able to live their lives. So many of my clients have been out for another like two or three decades.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really part of the country then, right?
Yeah, they have careers, they have families, and they totally thought that they kind of left that behind. Like, they've just started new lives, and they're very different people.
There is a suggestion that there are as many as 1,800-plus Cambodians on a list with the final deportation order. What has been the reaction from some of your clients when they find out that they're going to be on that plane?
So this is something that ICE has been doing every 4 months since October of 2017. They pick up 100 people each time. And obviously, the community has reacted with a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiety. Even Cambodians that aren't picked up know that they will eventually be on the list, essentially. ICE recently made a statement saying that Cambodia should prepare for around 200 deportations each year. And this is still a community where people are very much unable to get legal representation. And it's somewhat surreal that ICE is often arguing in court with us that these poor families that are trying to survive on food stamps should essentially have a lawyer on retainer that they check in with to see if the law has changed on their cases, because that's often one of the only ways that we can prevent their deportation, is by seeing if their convictions are no longer deportable. Like my client Sir Un that I mentioned before, his residential burglary is no longer a deportable offense. Like, the Supreme Court has said so. The Ninth Circuit has said so. We got him a stay just 2 days before the flight left. And he's waiting on a pardon from the governor, because even with his one conviction, which is not removable, ICE could still deport him on the next flight if he doesn't get his case reopened. Like, if a judge doesn't agree that he merits staying in the U.S. And kind of the horrifying thing is that out of the people that we talk to that are picked up in each raid, we find that probably more than half of the people are not removable. They have very strong options to reopen their cases and that they should be able to stay here. It's just that they don't have the resources to do so.
So, I mean, how do you see your clients in the U.S. coping with the reality they're living with now that after living here for decades, they could be deported at any moment?
I think it is an immense sense of helplessness. It's not like they can go anywhere. Their lives are here. Many of them have never been to Cambodia. Like, their parents fled before they were even born. So they were born in the refugee camp. They don't necessarily speak the Khmer language even. So this is their home, and any family members that they had in Cambodia have either died in the genocide or they've come here. So if they go back to Cambodia, they essentially have no one that they can rely on.
Kevin Lo there, he's an immigration attorney with the Asian Law Caucus. You can see an essay he wrote about being an immigration attorney at theworld.org/Cambodia, an item originally published by the Asian American Writers Workshop.